Penguin Random House Audio presents Seduced by Moonlight, a novel by Laurel K. Hamilton, read for you by Stella Hunter. To Jay, because he promised, and he always keeps his word. Chapter 1. A lot of people lounge by pools in L.A., but few of them are truly immortal, no matter how hard they pretend with plastic surgery and exercise. Dole was truly immortal and had been for over 1,000 years. 1,000 years of wars, assassinations, and political intrigue. And he'd been reduced to being eye candy in a thong bathing suit by the pool of the rich and famous. He lay at the edge of the pool, wearing almost nothing. Sunlight glittered across the blue-blue water of the pool. The light broke in a jagged dance across his body, as if some invisible hand stirred the light, turning it into 12 tiny spotlights that coaxed Dole's dark body into colors I'd never known his skin could hold. He wasn't black the way a human being is black, but more the way a dog is black. Watching the play of light on his skin, I realized I'd been wrong. His skin gleamed with blue highlights, a shine of midnight blue along the long muscular sweep of his calf, a flare of royal blue like a stroke of deep sky touched his back and shoulder, purple to shame the darkest amethyst caressed his hip. How could I ever have thought his skin monochrome? He was a miracle of colors and light, strapped across a body that rippled and moved with muscles honed in wars fought centuries before I was born. The braid of his black hair trailed across the edge of the lounge chair, fell over the side, and curled beside him on the concrete like some patient serpent. His hair was the only thing that seemed black on black. There was no play of colors, only a gleam like a black jewel. It seemed as if it should have been the other way around, that his hair should have held the highlights and his body been all one color, but it wasn't. He lay on his stomach, head turned away from me. He was pretending to be asleep, but I knew he wasn't. He was waiting. Waiting for the helicopter to fly over. The helicopter that would contain the press, people with cameras. We'd made a deal with the devil. If the press would just stay away enough for us to have some privacy, we'd make sure that at prearranged times they had something newsworthy to take pictures of. I was Princess Meredith Nicessis, heir to the throne of the Unseelie Court, and the fact that I'd surfaced in Los Angeles, California after a 3-year absence was big news. People thought I'd died. Now I was alive and well, and living in the middle of one of the biggest media empires on the planet. Then I'd gone and done something that was even better tabloid fodder. I was looking for a husband. The only fairy princess born on American soil was looking to wed. Being fae, especially a member of the Shi, the highest of the high royals, I wasn't allowed to marry unless I was pregnant. The fae don't breed much, and the Shi royals breed even less. My aunt, the queen of air and darkness, would not tolerate anything less than a fertile match. Since we seemed to be dying out, I guess I couldn't blame her. But somehow the tabloids had gotten wind that I wasn't just dating my bodyguards, I was fucking them. Whoever got me with child got a wedding, got to be king to my queen. The tabloids even knew that the queen had made it a contest between me and her son, my cousin, Prince Kel. Whoever got a baby first won the throne. The media had fallen on us like a cannibalistic orgy. Not pretty. Not pretty at all. What the tabloids didn't know was that Kel had tried to have me assassinated more than once. They also didn't know that he'd been imprisoned by the queen for 6 months as punishment. Imprisoned and tortured for 6 months. Immortality and an ability to heal almost anything does have some downsides. Torture can last a very, very long time. When Kel got out, he'd be allowed to continue the contest, unless I got pregnant first. So far, no luck, and it wasn't for lack of trying. Dole was one of 5 bodyguards, the queen's own bodyguards, who had volunteered or been volunteered to be my lover. Queen Ondaeus had had a rule that her bodyguards gave their seed to her body or nobody. Dol had been celibate for centuries. Again, immortality, if it goes wrong, can have some downsides. We'd chosen one of the most persistent of the tabloids and made our arrangements. Dol thought it was rewarding bad behavior. The queen wanted us to show positive images to the media. The Unseelie Court of the Shi has a reputation for being the bad guys. We can be, but I'd spent my fair share of time at the Seelie Court, the bright and shining court that the media think is so perfect, so joyous. Their king, Tyrannus, the king of light and illusion, is my uncle, but I'm not in line to that throne. I had the bad taste to have a father who was full-blooded Unseelie Shi, and that is a crime for which the glittering throng has no forgiveness. There was no prison that I could go to, no torture I could endure, that would cleanse me of this sin. They can say that the Seelie Court is a beautiful place, but I learned that my blood is just as red on white marble as it is on black. The beautiful people made it very plain at a young age that I would never be one of them. I'm too short, too human-looking, and worse yet, too Unseelie-looking. My skin is as white as Dol's is black. Moonlight skin is what I have, a mark of beauty at either court. But I am barely 5 feet tall. No, she is that short. I have curves and am a little too voluptuous for the she. That pesky human blood, I guess. My eyes are tricolored, two shades of green and a circle of gold. The eyes would be welcome in the Seelie Court, but not the hair. It's blood auburn, she scarlet, if you go to a good salon and get the dye job. It's not auburn, and it's not human red. It's as if you took good red garnets and spun the jewels out into hair. It has one other nickname among the glittering throng, Unseelie Red. The Seelie have red hair, but it's closer to human red, orangey, golden, true auburn or true red, but nothing as dark as mine. My mother made sure that I knew I was less. Less beautiful, less welcome, just less. She and I don't talk much. My father died when I was younger, and there is rarely a day that I don't miss him. He taught me that I was enough. Beautiful enough, tall enough, strong enough, just enough. Dol raised his head, showing the black wraparound sunglasses that hid his own black eyes. The light glittered off the silver earrings that graced almost every inch of his ears, from lobe to pointed tip. The ears were the only thing that gave away the fact that Dol wasn't pure Unseelie Shi. Contrary to popular literature and every wannabe fae with ear implants, real Shi do not have pointed ears. Dol could have hidden the ears and passed for pure Shi, but he almost always wore his hair back so that this one imperfection showed. I think the earrings were so you wouldn't miss them.
I hear the helicopter. Where's Rhys?
I didn't hear anything yet, but I'd learned not to question Dol. If he said he'd heard something, he had. His hearing was better than a human's and better than most of the rest of the guards. Probably something to do with his mixed heritage. I sat up and looked back toward the wall of glass that led into the house. Rhys appeared in the sliding glass doors before I could call for him. His skin was the paleness of mine, but there the sameness ended. His waist-length hair was a mass of tight white curls framing a face that was boyishly handsome and would be forever. His one eye was tri-colored blue, cornflower, and winter sky. His other eye was gone, lost long ago. Sometimes he wore a patch to cover the scars, but once he realized that I didn't mind, he seldom bothered. The scars trailed down his face but stopped short of his kissable, pouting lips. For sheer shape of the mouth, his was the prettiest. He was 5'6", the shortest full-blooded she I'd ever met, but every inch of him that showed was muscled. He seemed to try to make up for the lack of height by being in better shape than the rest of the guards. They were all muscular, but he was one of the few who really took the weightlifting seriously. He was also the only one with washboard abs. He had the towels he'd gone for in front of those abs, and lower. And it wasn't until he dropped the towels beside my chair that I realized he'd left his bathing suit in the house. Rhys, what are you doing? He grinned at me.
bathing suits this small are like lies. It's a way for humans to be nude without being...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?